You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now, sports can be a gateway to better health and well-being. And today we're focusing on one sport in particular, blind baseball. But how do you play it and what well-being benefits does it offer? Well, we're joined by Sharaz Chauhan, founder and competition and development officer at UK Blind Baseball Association, and Amjad Khan, chairman and co-founder at UK Blind Baseball Association. It is fantastic speaking with both of you today.
Thank you.
Likewise, Paulina. Pleasure.
Well, we'll start with you, Sharaz. What's your eye condition and how much can you actually see?
Yeah, I suffer with RP condition. It's called retinitis pigmentosa, mainly night blindness, but it deteriorates with age and it progresses. For some people, it progresses a bit more rapid. For me, at night, obviously, it's no sight whatsoever. It's a blackout for me. Daytime, I can pick up colours, just things around me to a certain degree. I'd say about 5% or even under 5%. But it's something that I've been living with RP since birth, and then slowly it's progressed with age, and I've come to this stage now where I'm next to no vision. And in terms of blind sports, I'm very close to a B1, which means no sight.
Thank you so much, Sharaz. And Amjad, how about yourself?
I have the same eye condition as Sharaz as well. Basically, a deteriorating condition over age and other factors as well. So my vision compared to Sharaz is I have no sight at all, just light perception. So in blind sports, I'm categorized as a B1 or a total if in the cricket classification.
And how did you both get involved in blind baseball? Sharaz, would you like to start again?
Yeah, not a problem. Basically, I've been involved in the sports, blind sports field for over 15 years, roughly 16 years now. Started with cricket and obviously with the Lancashire Lions, we progressed to goal ball, temping bowling. And more recently, since 2017, blind baseball was brought to our attention. It all happened accidentally. There was a gentleman that contacted me, and I was at a training session. I don't usually answer my phone whilst a cricket session was going on. They go, "I believe you're involved in blind sports in Lancashire. I'm here from Italy." I go, "Oh, how interesting." And I go, "What can I do for you?" He goes, I promote blind baseball in Italy. I said, "Yeah, what could I do for yourself?" He goes, "Well, I'm actually here for a few days and I'm visiting Manchester." It was a stone throw away from where I was actually, where I live. I sat in my front garden, had some cold drinks. I still remember it today in 2017. It was a hot day. We had some drinks outside and we discussed blind sports and what I do and what we do here at Lancashire Lions. Then he give a background of blind baseball, how long it's been played for and how big it is. And we've never heard of it. And it was unheard of in the UK. And I don't know much about Europe, but not many places. So now it's starting to progress in a massive way. This gentleman was called Ghulam Sawa, who's well known and well established as a great ambassador, a champion of the game. He kept in touch for many, many months and tried to, you know, push on to see if we will bring it as an inclusion into the Lancashire Lions. Eventually, I give in to his calls and I said, "I'll come down and I'll have a look." And I discussed with Amjad, Ben, my colleague. They authorised for me to actually go over to Italy. They was having a tournament where there was a gathering of four teams. And, you know, it was like finals day, as we have here in the UK with cricket. And I was a part of that. And I was really, really well received there, really well looked after. And, you know, they introduced the game to me. And I told him I can't make any promises with everything that we do here at Lancashire Lions. There's not enough hours in a day. However, I went back and discussed with the committee. Then we went back with a few delegates in 2018. Met the delegates, seen, you know, how the game's played in more detailed, and see how we can bring it into, first and foremost, into the Lancashire Lions, then promote it nationally. So we brought it back and, you know, started to gauge interest, started to get interest of people, and slowly made it into an inclusion into our offer at the Lancashire Lions. 2019, there was a huge tournament, which is the World Cup now. It was called the World Classic. And we was invited to that, so to be a part as GB. We did a six-week camp, promoted the opportunity. We selected some people, got some coaches involved, and we flew over to Rome. And we did considerably very well, considering that we've actually never competed in a competition, but we've had sports people in the actual team that play cricket, goalball, other various sports that cross over. So overall, it was a great opportunity to transfer them skills over to such a great kind of spectacle that was held there. And you know, Amjad was a part of that himself as well. He was around in with work and planning and logistics, etc. And yeah, I've never looked back. I've been to Italy about 10, 11 times now on various different projects where the game originates from over 30 years ago from a gentleman called Alfredo Melli. Today, it proves sports can build relationships. And that's the reason why it is actually being played in UK today. And it's been a massive hit.
That's amazing. It's such a beautiful story that came out of this chance meeting. And Amjad, I feel like we got a really nice background of how it all started, but would you mind explaining how do we play blind baseball?
So how it's played, not many people probably in the UK are even aware of how mainstream baseball is played. So you think, how is blind baseball played? There are many differences. So you're playing on the same diamond, a baseball diamond. You use basically almost the same kind of equipment where you've got a bat, a baseball. You got the four bases as well. In blind baseball, you have five blind players and two sight assistants. The game is actually played under shades like you would do in goalball and other various, you know, blind sports like blind football. So it's played under shades. What happens is, as a batter, you hit a ball from your hand. It's not pitched, so the ball isn't pitched at you in like normal baseball. So that's one of the adaptations. So you hit the ball from your hand, so the ball has two bells in it, so it makes a sound. Basically, it's a normal baseball with two bells in it. Sounds more like probably a goal ball, a miniature goal ball. That ball is hit into the field between third base and second base. It has to bounce at least 26 within that 26 meters for it to be a legal shot. Once it gets passed into the field, you have five fielders on the field who are also blindfolded, and the aim of the game is to hit the ball from your hand between the third base and second base, and you drop the bat behind you and you start running towards first base, which has an audible bleeper like a car horn. And then once you turn outside of that, then on second base you have a sighted clapper who claps you in. Whilst you are running towards that second base, the fielding team is trying to locate that ball wherever it's gone in the field and get it into their second base catcher, who is also sighted. So if you can manage to get in before the ball is thrown in, so you are safe, and then the next player comes up. And the aim is to get your player from all around the diamond to the home plate. Second base has a sighted clapper, third base has a sighted clapper. But to get to home, this is probably the most difficult part of it, is your third base assistant will line you up towards home plate. And once the ball is in play, hit in play by one of your teammates, you set off running, trying to cross the home plate without going out.
Just to add to the gate that Amjad was talking about, that you have to get in, it's roughly 4 meters, 3 meters 39, 3 meters 96 centimeters to get in. It's very challenging because you have to run straight and try to get in within that gate and everything as well. Like Amjad mentioned, there's no audible cue. That's the only base. There's no audible cue to, so you have to do it independently. And the sense of achievement when some of the people get home is amazing, and it's just, you know, a great spectacle overall. It's an inclusive sport with having sighted people involved as well. And overall, playing, I think playing is, you know, with playing other sports as well, this makes it more exciting to know you have a sighted guide, which there is certain degrees of rules and regulations that they can only assist you with. As an example, if you've got the ball, they can shout 2-2-2 when you're in the field, and it actually is permissible. But if they say this on the left, right, however, they can't do that. As soon as you've got the ball in your control, they shout the number 2-2-2, so you know where they are, and you throw it. You try to throw it into the glove. It can bounce into the glove as well. Before, like Amjad said, the runner gets to the second base or third base, they have to touch the bases as well. And the clapping part is very, very essential because you have to follow the clap audible cues. The running aspect is something that I really enjoy. Hitting and running. Hitting comes naturally to some of us that play other sports. The diving, stopping the ball comes naturally as well for some that play goal ball. So as mentioned earlier, it's a real crossover. The running, there's not many sports that you can run with freedom. Mm. Obviously, as we always say, safety is paramount. When you're playing in a game, there's usually five officials, umpires. So we make sure your safety is prioritised. So you run with freedom. And seeing some people and the feedback you get of some people saying that we can actually run, we never thought we would be able to run, is something that is very special. And you'd think, you know, it's life-changing for some.
Is that something you also love about it, Amjad?
Yeah, definitely. So, for example, playing cricket as a B1 or a total batter, we have a runner. And sometimes it gets frustrating because that's out of our control. And sometimes we get a run out a lot and we're there or I'd rather run for myself. So in baseball, it's amazing that, you know, as a totally blind person, you can run for yourself. And it makes it a lot more challenging, but exciting as well. And that's the part I enjoy. And also, the beauty is you can also, for example, if you got people that are not able to run, but can't hit the ball within that area, you can run. You can have a runner for them as well. Or, for example, if somebody's in a wheelchair, they can play the sport as well. So it can be adapted for many abilities.
That's fantastic. And what would you both say are the benefits of a sport like that, besides obviously that feeling of freedom and being able to take part in a sport that's so accessible to many people?
Me personally, there's a lot of benefits. I mean, you've got the social element, the team camaraderie, the competition, the environment, and overall working together and supporting each other, and, you know, having a opportunity to perform with the, this is three elements, you see. It's not just one element. In other sports, you can either just be a defender, you're not the pitch as a footballer, as an example, or the cricketer, you're there as a batter. You've got an opportunity here to hit, you've got opportunity to run, you've got an opportunity to field and throw. So, you know, it covers a lot of, excuse the pun, a lot of bases with inclusion, as Amjad mentioned as well, with the wheelchair aspect. You know, it shows overall there's inclusivity in this sport. That's the best part for me. And there's not just one element of the game. You can be good at all three, or you can be good at one or two. It's something for everybody to kind of bring to a team. And it's a real team game.
What about yourself, Amjad? What do you think are the benefits of blind baseball?
No, definitely. I think the fitness side of it as well. So I think it's definitely improved my fitness in terms of running. Somebody who, as a teenager, used to love running, going down to athletic competitions and stuff like that. I've not been able to do that for 20-odd years. So getting back into baseball, that's helped. And I think I would say, in terms of kind of increasing people's self-esteem, confidence, it's had a lot of benefits.
That's fantastic. And Shiraz, I would like to chat a little bit about a very exciting project that you've been working on. It's the Visually Impaired Health and Wellbeing Project. Could you tell us a little bit more?
This is something that we're coming towards the end of now. It's been 2 years, end of August or start of September, towards that time anyway, promoting health and wellbeing, as the name says itself, and obviously for the visually impaired community. Overall, the prerogative was to engage as many people as possible and at the start to see where they're at mentally, physically, and just generally overall with confidence, progressing their development, seeing how they're getting on, doing some case studies to see, as an example, what this sport has done for people. Overall health, as fitness, mental well-being, and generally setting goals for themselves. We've done so many case studies, and a lot of people with what's come back to us has been confidence in travel, because a lot of them started to travel independently. Some of them couldn't travel from various parts of the country. They never had nothing to relate to. So that's got them out of the house. So, you know, you can tick a box there to say, you know, overall, they've started to get out more. They've got out of isolation. They've actually got a sense of belonging. And then if you look at the health part, some of them are going to join a gym, some of them set themselves goals in terms of weight loss, in terms of performance, in terms of, actually getting their speed up with running. And just generally overall, it's been so pleasing to see so many people, progressing in so many different aspects in terms of fitness, mental health. Confidence comes in that hand in hand as well, and just making sure they've got some sort of incentive to be involved in competition, some sort of incentive to progress the overall health. And it's been overwhelming to see the results and the feedback. New teams being formed, bringing new players through, supporting them, helping them to develop as a structure, as a club. Some of them people have got a role as leaders now as well, which is for me something that is very essential to give somebody a sense of belonging, but at the same time empower people to have a role and manage their own club, manage their own team, organize. And I think that's the biggest achievement for me overall, looking on these 2 years with setting up new teams and having new people stepping up to take on roles. It's been a absolute pleasure to be a part of and the success of the project.
I'm so glad to hear it's been so successful. And do you already have some plans in mind for what's next now that the project is coming to an end?
Absolutely, always. In terms of whatever we kind of do, we try to raise the bar as high as we can. Take the sky's the limit, I believe. And I think the important thing is to work and develop these teams even further, help them, support them, help them with participation. Obviously, work closely with British Blind Sport and other organisations as well, and just overall see developments on the outreach work we've done. We reached New Worcester College this year, Eye Matters in London. We've got other plans towards Yorkshire, other places that we're actually in negotiation with at the moment to promote the sport far and wide. As mentioned, London was an area we wanted to target, the Midlands was an area, and we're looking to promote that even further and take it as far as we can and get as many people involved, whether they're sighted, whether they're visually impaired, to grow the sport. And I must say, the National Lottery have been at the forefront of this project, visually impaired health and well-being. They've been at the forefront in terms of supporting this initiative, and we want to thank them as well. Otherwise, we would never have this opportunity. And these individuals that have excelled today in different categories with blind baseball, some of them have represented at a national level as well. This would not have been possible without their support. So, a massive thank you to the National Lottery Community Fund.
Well, I guess I only have one final question left, which is how do we find out more about UK Blind Baseball Association and perhaps get in touch if we're interested?
We've got a Facebook page. We're on various social media platforms. So for the Facebook page, UK Blind Baseball Association. We're also on Twitter at UK Blind Baseball, and people can email us at ukblindbaseball@gmail.com, our website as well. ukblindbaseball.co.uk.
Please feel free to get in touch with us, anybody, and we'll be more than happy to support and help and guide the best we can.
Well, thank you so much, Shiraz Chohan and Amjad Khan from UK Blind Baseball Association. Thank you so much for speaking on the Happy Hour today.
Thank you. It's
No
been
problem.
great.
Yeah, absolute pleasure, Paulina.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.